Welcome to Heart to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related presented by the Physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists. I'm your host, Linnea Allen. Today, we're going to discuss the medical therapy of angina with Dr. Bill Haney of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists located in Shreveport, Louisiana. Dr. Haney, welcome.
Thank you very much, Linnea.
Well, let's just jump right in. Can you tell me, what is angina?
Angina is a symptom. It's not a diagnosis at all. It's a symptom that people frequently get when they have significant obstruction in the coronary arteries. And one of our biggest problems is that it's hard to tell patients exactly what to look for because it can be extremely variable. It usually includes some discomfort in the middle of the chest anteriorly up into the throat or the jaws, but it can radiate to the shoulders, elbows, arms, and often to the upper back. It usually lasts minutes at a time. There's a few things that we can tell people are not angina. Anything that's sharp and fleeting, lasts a second or two, is extremely unlikely to be due to heart pain. Anything that lasts days at a time is unlikely to be of cardiac origin. The other thing that frequently causes pain in the chest is musculoskeletal disorders. For instance, if you have pain in your shoulder, that could be due to angina, or it could be a shoulder problem. If you move your arm in a certain direction and it makes it worse, that gives you some idea that it's musculoskeletal.
Well, I'm glad that you separated those, because what you described initially is what I have always heard and read about. Okay, those are signs of a heart attack, the arm, the back, the chest. So that's good that you separated those out. So what you're saying is, if I have a real quick pain in my chest, but it goes away, probably not it.
Probably not angina.
And if it lasts for days and days and days, probably not it.
That's exactly right.
So it should last, you said, minutes?
It's usually minutes at a time. It occasionally can be longer during a particularly bad episode. Even a big heart attack, the pain is usually gone in a few hours. So that's why I say if it lasts several days continuously, it's probably not cardiac.
How important is it, or how quickly should someone call the ambulance or call their doctor if they think they're having these? Is that like an immediate thing that needs to happen?
If somebody thinks that they're having a heart attack, the expression is time is muscle. The more time you wait, the more heart muscle dies or is injured in the heart attack. So if you think you're having a heart attack, it is extremely important to seek help immediately.
Okay. All right. Now what I've normally heard about this is, with angina, you need a stent or bypass surgery. Is that always the case?
Absolutely not. I'd say most of the time it's not necessary. One of the concepts I think sometimes is a little bit hard to get across, we treat these problems for two reasons. And one of them is not to cure it. We haven't cured a case of this yet. If people have plaque in their arteries, it's going to be there from then on. So the two goals are to control symptoms and to reduce the risk of bad outcomes, such as heart attack or stroke. There are certain situations, certain degree of blockage and number of vessels involved, et cetera, where it's been proven that bypass surgery improves long-term survival, and maybe the same with stents as well. But there are a lot of cases where people have enough obstruction to cause some chest tightness or shortness of breath, and it may be managed by simply placing them on a medication that can reduce the frequency or sometimes eliminate it altogether.
And that leads me to my next question. So what types of medicines and treatments are available to treat this?
The medications available today have in general been around for a long, long time. Probably the one that most people have heard of is nitrates or nitroglycerin, and that's the treatment of a single episode of angina, is the placement of a nitroglycerin tablet under the tongue to allow it to dissolve, and infrequently that will make the discomfort go away much more rapidly. And sometimes people may require two or three doses before it goes away.
Wow.
There are also long-acting nitrates that are similar to nitroglycerin, but it's a pill form, and it lasts for several hours, and it's to try to prevent episodes of angina. So the nitrates are a real cornerstone of therapy. They've been around a long time. I would say the next cornerstone is drugs in the class beta blockers, and they may even reduce bad outcomes as well. They work on the demand side of the equation. If people have blocked arteries, they have a limited supply of blood flow. And if they have a high demand on their heart, the blood flow available is not enough. Beta blockers sort of oppose the effects of adrenaline. So when you exercise or walk up some stairs, something like that, your heart rate and blood pressure will not go up as much, and there will not be as much demand for blood flow. So you can prevent angina.
Is there anything that anybody can do specifically to lessen their chances of getting this? Or does this go back to what we discussed before with coronary artery disease?
That's right. It's mainly treating the risk factors such as high cholesterol, diabetes, smoking, high blood pressure, and the one we can't treat is genetics. There are also a couple of other types of medications. There's the class called calcium channel blockers, and it's really two classes, one of which lowers the blood pressure and is a fairly pure vasodilator, and it works mostly on the side of improving supply of blood flow. There's another type of calcium blocker that also slows down the heart rate and has some effects that are somewhat similar to the beta blockers. But these are also, in my opinion, these would be the third line drugs after beta blockers and nitrates.
So how do you decide what drugs to give?
It depends on the patient. You have to individualize that. For instance, if somebody has bad high blood pressure, we may be more prone to use one of the calcium blockers to help get the pressure down. People with congestive heart failure may do better with beta blockers and nitrates. And then there's one other drug, ranolazine, that is in a class by itself that it does not improve prognosis, but in people who do not respond well to the other anti-angial drugs, the addition of this drug may help significantly.
So it's not a one-drug-fits-all kind of a thing. You look at each individual patient.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And you said a little bit earlier, but if you wouldn't mind saying again, what is the goal of treatment exactly?
That's right. I mentioned one goal is to prevent bad outcomes. But there are certain situations where people have angina where the risk of a bad outcome is really not that high. And in that case, the goal is just controlling the symptoms and making that person able to enjoy a quality of life where they're not limited by episodes of chest discomfort.
Is there ever a time to reevaluate the treatment? Like if they're doing one treatment, you've prescribed one treatment, but it's time to take a look at doing something different?
That's a very good question. The patient with stable angina usually is at low risk. And what I mean by that, a person who can walk a certain distance and they can almost predict when their chest is going to tighten up, that's due to a fixed blockage. It's not any different than it was yesterday, and it's not all that dangerous. When someone goes from that to having chest pain at rest or chest pain that lasts much longer, something, the key word I believe is a change, something that's significantly worse than before, that's called unstable angina. And the chance of a bad outcome, even short term, is relatively high in that patient group.
Okay. You've certainly educated us on this. Any final thoughts?
The treatment of angina, again, is not something that can be cured. It's something you learn to live with, and people can live decades with it. So risk factor control, medical therapy, and then when needed, revascularization, stents or bypass surgery, is a good way to control this long term.
Thank you, Dr. Haney. To learn more about the medical therapy of angina and other cardiovascular-related topics, visit acsdoctors.com.